Hey guys, yeah, I haven't quite finished watching the movie yet.
What?
What? Is that what that sound is?
Jesus.
I mean, I guess we could go ahead and start if you want.
The fuck well, we're supposed yeah. to... God damn it.
Well, I didn't realize I had to watch the whole movie, because you know how that thing we do? We usually watch movies one quarter film at a time?
No.
So between the four of us...
I don't know what this is.
Well, between the four of us, I thought we'd be able to watch all of Torque for Beast. Movie Mania!
Chris, that is not going to sound very good if we're recording and you've got the movie blasting in the background. I can hear the engine revving right now.
Can't even hear the theme song.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
I can't tell if this is a bit or not. I think he didn't watch the full movie.
Jay, as an introduction, I want you to tell me, what is it about driving cars that makes you such an asshole?
I guess it's because I don't drive a motorcycle.
Mike, if I've got $1 million of your ice, are you punctual?
My name is Mike Rock! I don't know, is that punctual enough for you?
Sounds very punctual. And Paul Brooks, are you running a 2-for-1 special today? And can I get fries with that?
Oh, man. You know what? Cars suck.
That's right, listeners. We watched Torque, a movie with loads of stupid-ass one-liners.
Dork. D-O-R-Q-U-E. Dork.
I like to call it pork.
P-O-R-Q-U-E?
Mm-hmm.
That's my new nickname, Mike.
Pork?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to have to put a cork, C-O-R-Q-U-E, in this line of conversation.
Wow.
To talk about Torque, which is, at its heart, a movie about three dudes, a girl, a couple of bikes.
Is that it?
This went a lot better in my head.
It's going really well.
I think this movie went a lot better in the people who's made its head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny, because I was thinking the same thing.
Well, there's sponsors on every frame of this movie.
Well, let's get into that a little bit, Jay. What do you mean by sponsors in every frame of this movie?
Well, I mean, if you don't mind, I'll just say it. My favorite scene is the Pepsi versus Mountain Dew motorcycle joust. There's just sponsorship over the entire movie on coats, and usually they try to be a little coy about how they put the placement in there, or they like sneak it in. This will take up 2/3 of the frame. Like, it's huge.
I wonder if it's part of the culture of biker culture, not so much like leather bikers, but like what we mostly have in this film are crotch rocket bikers. They've all got, you know, the name of their favorite motorcycle company on, like, the gear. There's, like, sponsorship shit when it's, like, professional, right? Like, they wear the sponsored ads and stuff like that. So I wonder if it's just part of the culture just to have fucking advertisements everywhere. Or they just know the people who are motorheads are susceptible to that kind of shit. I don't know.
I don't know, but that sounds like a good time for you to talk about what this movie's about, Mike.
There's a guy named Ford, and he's been laying low in Thailand because he got in trouble. He comes back for who knows what reason, and a drug dealer he used to know is mad at him, and Ice Cube's mad too for a different reason. There's a Kid Rock song. Then the drug dealer kills Ice Cube's brother and blames it on the guy named Ford. Adam Scott's in it. He's part of the FBI. Who knows why? They go through some palm trees and then go through a train. They find the stolen bikes in a warehouse. There's crystal meth inside. The feds show up. Adam Scott becomes a bad guy. He dies. The most epic fight scene ever, followed by the other most epic fight scene ever, credits.
God, if we just cut to rating time right now and this episode is 5 minutes long, it would be so funny.
Rating time.
I don't think Mike understands the concept of a synopsis.
Oh, no. Now we don't have to talk about it. Let's just do whatever now.
And Jay, we could go right into rating time, but then we'd all be missing out on quick takes.
Quick takes!
Paul, why don't you give us your quick take?
Cars suck.
Right. Jay?
You know, the Justice League is a popular thing to talk about right now, so I'm going to use a Justice League analogy. In the Justice League of action movies, Torque is Aquaman.
Interesting.
All right, Mike, tell us your interesting quick take.
I mean, you heard me say it really quickly, the movie plot, but the plot of the movie is the most contrived thing I've ever witnessed. There are a lot of fight scenes in it, and they're actually kind of pretty dope. That's it. That's what I have to say. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, you know, I saw that Ford wears a Ramones t-shirt, yet the Ramones aren't actually on the soundtrack, and I'm really disappointed. Kind of like the movie.
Kid Rock is.
Kid Rock's all over the soundtrack.
Metallica's the same way. The other guy has a Metallica t-shirt, and they're not in the soundtrack either.
And Sideburns has a Motorhead t-shirt, and I don't know if you caught it, because it's not obvious, but Adam Scott, who you may recognize from the TV show Party Down, is wearing a Spawn t-shirt from the comic book Spawn.
Oh.
None of those bands or comic books are actually in the movie.
Wow, that's interesting. Chris, that sort of gives me a good segue to get into my first car fact.
Oh, God.
Car facts.
Cars suck.
Look it, I agree, and here's the thing. I don't really have any car facts because their cars in this movie blow, man. But I do have one car fact for you. Our main character's name is Ford, right? Mm-hmm. He's our main motorcycle boy. Ford has never made and never will make a motorcycle.
Hmm.
The company has literally never made a motorcycle.
Wait, how do you know that they never will make a motorcycle?
I'm just making an assumption. They've had 100 years. They haven't done it yet. Who's going to fucking do it now?
True.
Harley Davidson has the market cornered. They have teamed up with Harley for certain sponsorships. Some home hobbyists have taken old, like, Ford motor engines out of a car and made a motorcycle out of it. But there is no such thing as a manufactured by Ford motorcycle. There's a Ford motorcycle club thing that is full of Ford employees, but they do not make the motorcycles.
So you're telling me that whoever produced this bullshit didn't really do their research?
They didn't talk to me, at least.
Well, but hold on. I mean, the thing you got to understand about Torque is that, you know, in movie trailers when that guy always used to say, in a world.
In a world.
In a world.
Right. Torque takes place in a world where cars suck. So it's this weird, like, everyone's on a motorcycle. Everyone is, like, into, like, street racing. There's cars, there's motorcycles, and it's very, like, there's a lot of animosity between the two for whatever reason.
It's done, almost costing my ride, biker boy. You're in my way. I was in a hurry.
Well, now you're gonna be late.
Hey! Get your dirty little punk ass off my car! What is it about driving cars that makes you all such assholes?
You know, Paul, that brings me to my second car fact.
No! Car facts.
Paul, here's the thing.
You said you had one.
I said I don't really have any actual car facts.
Let's just hope that Mike doesn't have any kink takes tonight.
Oh,
yeah. Oh no, Mike is winking.
You see, there is an animosity, as you said, Paul, between car drivers and motorcycle drivers. And at one point, one of the bikers, Ford, I believe, asks them why they're such assholes because they drive cars or something, right?
Right.
Here's the thing. Psychologists assert that the driver of a vehicle may develop a sense of anonymity and detachment from, like, the rest of the people, but a lot of that has to do with the confines of a car, or, like, the confines you have of a vehicle. The windows blocking, especially if they're tinted, they cause the driver to feel isolated from the outside world, which may cause them to actually become detached and more aggressive towards those outside of their confinement. So psychologists do seem to believe through this idea that car drivers might be more assholes than motorcycle drivers.
That's dog shit. Have you ever seen someone on a motorcycle?
Yeah, fuck them. Wait, no. Except for our listeners who are bikers. We love them. I love them. Paul, I'll tell you his address off air.
Well, that brings me into the main thing I really wanted to talk about tonight, is everyone in this movie is so goddamn angry.
Yes.
Oh, man. I wrote in my notes that Ice Cube is ice cubing harder than he's ever ice cubed before.
Ford. Heard you was up in Indochina eating sushi and shit.
I thought sushi came from Japan.
You know where sushi come from, nigga. I ain't even talking to you.
His face is so scrunched up.
He ice cubes so hard that at one point there's an ADR audio voiceover of him saying, fuck the police.
Yes. Which I believe that is the titular line from his song, Fuck the Police, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. Little callback. But Chris, why do you think that is? Why is everyone so angry?
Well, I'm guessing it has something to do with the research that Mike just did, that they don't feel safe in their enclosed boxes, isolating them from the outside world. They're exposed to the elements on their motorcycles. And I don't know, that and at least the motorcyclists in this movie are just, they've got a lot of issues, deep-seated issues.
There's a lot of issues. And we watched this last night, and, you know, at some point there's a plot because somebody gets killed, and the plot, I guess you'd call it that, kind of happens. But before that, I'm like, what is the problem? Everyone is so mad at each other all the time, and there's no problem at all.
A simple conversation would have solved so much.
Well, it even starts with at the very beginning of the movie when we see the cars suck. He doesn't even, like, Ford doesn't even interrupt the drag race. He doesn't run them off the road. They're trying to block him from passing. He goes right between them, and that makes them run off the road. Anyway, there's a big fight, and once they're disposed of, his friends show up, and it's that whole bit where fake out. It's like, oh, we're going to have another fight. You know, we're all angry at each other. Oh, but we're best friends.
Of course, they all drive motorcycles.
Yeah, I guess they have a reputation to keep up of being angry.
And by the way, I didn't expect us to say cars suck as much as we are, so I feel that maybe we should point out exactly where that comes from, because it is one of the best parts of the movie.
Well, the three of you are car drivers, and I personally am not. I'm a very green, self-aware, sensitive person to this planet, so.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mike rides a llama to work every day.
That's why?
That's because a drunk driver hit your car in, like, 2011, and you just decided not to get another one.
Oh, no.
Hey, Chicago's got the best public transit in the world.
Oh, right.
Fight me.
Is it motorcycle friendly, though?
No.
For 200-mile-an-hour jet-powered motorcycles.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Well, if they're in a video game, sure.
Chris, I also forgot my first drinking rule, Chris, and we haven't done drinking rules much. Can I say it?
Drinking rules!
Hey, I gotta explain cars suck!
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
Now, Paul, explain why cars suck, and then we'll get to the drinking rules.
So I don't exactly remember, but there's like a race or something.
This is gonna edit together great.
And they're
it's the first scene.
Wow.
Yeah, the first scene. They're racing. There's cars, and Ford goes by so fast on his motorcycle and his crotch rocket. They're out in the desert, right? They're like way out in, like, out by Joshua Tree or Death Valley or something.
Yuba County.
He's going so fast down this desert road on his motorcycle that he goes by a street sign, you know, where it's like the sign of one street is going one way. It's like a cross section, you know, the green street signs that you always see. And he goes by so fast that the signs spin and create an optical illusion that makes it look like the signs say, cars suck. How much money did this movie cost? How many people were involved in the making of this movie? And that got into the final cut of the film, Cars Suck.
It's supposed to be poking fun at Fast and Furious.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, which is funny because one of the producers of this movie also produces the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, and okay.
Is it one of the main guys in Fast and
yeah,
Furious?
Yeah, one. Yeah, I mean, I've never actually seen a Fast and the Furious movie, so I have no frame of reference.
You're missing out, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, God. 4+ is so good. Every one of them.
And that's interesting because, you know, this came out, this Torque came out in 2004, 2003, 2004?
2004.
And if I have only seen two or three of the Fast and the Furious movies. I haven't seen the first four, or even I think maybe the first one I watched was six, believe it or not.
It's a great place to start.
Those movies, the Fast and the Furious movies, get more and more bonkers, right? I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it starts out as just sort of like street racing, you know, goofy movies for the first couple of them. It's just like street racing and like people having attitudes about shit, kind of like Torque.
There's a drug crime in the first one.
Okay. But it almost seems to me, now that you say that, Chris, that there was a producer who did both of these, that Torque was so ridiculous that maybe it was the like seed of the idea to start making the Fast and Furious movies crazier and crazier.
Yeah. Oh.
Could be, I don't know.
Drinking rules.
Oh, yeah, and I just forgot my first one. Drink every time there's product placement.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pepsi.
Mountain Dew.
No, I have a drinking rule. I say there's a drinking rule every time Jamie Presley is on screen and it cuts to her licking her lips and not saying any words, even though you think she might.
Wrote it down in my notes also. Yes.
Every time it cuts to her and she licks her lips and she doesn't talk, you fill up a shot glass. And then when she does talk, you drink all of the shot glasses you filled up already and then promptly call the ER.
You know what? Hey, I'm a Jamie Presley fan, okay? I like me some Jamie Presley. There was not enough Jamie Presley in this movie.
No.
She has two lines, I believe. Two lines is part of that drinking rules joke also. She shows up a bunch with those quick shots and then I think speaks twice.
And she's an awesome character. She's a bad girl. She's part of the bad crew. And just like she's got some great looks in this movie. She's, you know, she's very sexy and sort of devious. I think it's a great part. They just didn't do enough with it, you know?
She did get the motorcycle joust scene, though.
Yeah, no, it gets good at the end.
And every time I see that, I kind of want to drink a Mountain Dew.
I kind of want to drink a Pepsi.
Paul, you talking about how sexy Jamie Presley is amongst many of the other characters and background actors of this film. That brings me to my first King Tank.
King Tank.
Oh, God. Going all out tonight.
Whale tail is the Y-shaped waistband of a thong or G-string when visible above the waistline of a low-rise jeans, shorts, or a skirt that resembles a whale's tail.
Wow.
Popularized by a number of female celebrities during the early 2000s, Christina Aguilera, Victoria Beckham, Mariah Carey, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears, displaying whale tails became popular in the early 2000s. Together with the rise of low-rise jeans and thong underwear, but it waned within a decade.
Well, that's a shame, if you ask me.
Hey, also, closing here, whale tail was selected in January 2006 as the most creative word of 2005 by the American Dialect Society.
Wow.
So if you weren't really popping it off in 2005, no one was. So don't worry.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, and we have Torque to thank for all
thank
of that.
Thank you, Torque. Thank you. It was a different time, different era.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to kind of get into this, talking about Jamie Presley and Mike's whale tail, as seen by...
Now I'll flip around right here. There you go. I wore a thong.
It was also the blonde girl. What's the actor's name?
Shane was that character's name.
Well, her character was Shane, yeah. Monet Mezer.
Huh, okay. Not familiar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff. Nothing I've really seen, but she's been... All of the people, even the two sidekick characters, Ford sidekicks, have been in, like... huge things and been around for a long time.
Oh, Dane Cook? Yeah, he put out a comedy album.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not Dane Cook. Oh. I was hoping to get through this episode without mentioning Dane Cook. But
sorry.
Without, how could you not talk about Dane Cook? Dane Cook is the Torque of comics.
I was going to say, let's talk about Dane Cook, but now I guess we just did.
Yeah, move on, please.
No. Let's get in depth.
Hey, do you think we can get a picture of you guys? We're on a road trip, and we email people on our buddy list, like where we're at and stuff. Can we do that?
We can move on. What were you going to say, Chris, about whale tail?
Well, I was going to say, we've got, like, ultimately at its heart, Torque is not just a movie about bike fights. It's also a tale about relationships.
Mm.
Ford's relationship with Shane and Henry, the villain, Henry's relationship with his girlfriend, Jamie Presley, who I believe her name was China.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, China jokes about in this movie that are...
Oh, dude. Drink every time there's casual racism.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was a different time.
Different time. Henry's relationship with China seems very... It's a little kinky, but very wholesome. They're committed to each other. Whereas Ford and Shane, Ford just skips town at the first sign of the feds.
Well, he was trying to protect her, he says. I mean, if maybe you don't believe him.
I don't believe anything Ford says.
Spoken like a Shane.
The whole thing is very... It's very... I don't even know what you'd call it. But there's a real love-hate thing going on between the two of them where, you know, she says, like, what part of I don't ever want to see you again, don't you understand, or whatever. But then every time he says something, she, like, gives him, you know... starry eyes, like she's ready to hop in bed with him. So it's this very back and forth. It's a weird relationship.
It's almost like it wasn't written very well.
It's almost like it's not good.
Maybe their relationship is something different, something deeper.
Don't do a thing.
This brings me to a King Tank.
King Tank.
There's not a name for this that I can find on the internet, but I'm going to call it helmetphilia. Is the kink or fetish of being in love with people wearing motorcycle helmets. Granted, very few of the characters in this film did wear helmets, but Reddit user Beautiful Karen has talked about this herself. She says, "No regrets. I have this thing for helmets. Sometimes thinking about them just really turns me on. Whenever I see a motorcyclist driving by, I always get a little bit of dirty thoughts in my fantasies. It's a weird fetish, and I don't know if it even exists to anyone else." Oh, it does, Karen. "I just always find it hot seeing people wearing helmets. I don't necessarily feel bad about this."
Wait, is this you talking
it's
now?
Wherever I...
Yeah, is this Karen or is this you?
Well... Karen does say, "I embrace it. Sometimes I find myself frustrated, though." And then, like, the winky face with the tongue out.
Are you just doing this so that Karen knows she's not alone because you also have this fetish?
I mean, there's no word for this, so it must be only two people who feel this.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't go to Reddit often, but maybe you could follow some comment threads in here on...
Mike, are you Karen?
Did this kink of yours develop when a drunk driver ran into your car in 2011 and you decided to make the switch to motorcycles?
Oh, he's like, cars suck.
So Chris Hudson, let's talk about Adam Scott. What?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, words strung together into sentences obviously bewilder you. Let me try again. Three dudes, a girl... couple of bikes.
Anyway, you know, you guys mentioned Henry. We've been talking about the bad guy. Can we please just get through the elephant in the room here? His hair.
I think his hair was actually pretty cool for like a bad guy look.
It's hilarious. It's just completely distracting.
Everything in this movie is hilarious.
I'll give it to you, Paul. I mean, if you like it, that's fine.
Whose hair is distracting? No, I don't think... I didn't even notice. I don't know. I literally don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't notice his weird, like... mullet with shaved sides?
It's like he was literally attacked on all sides by people with clippers, and they just got the sides of his head.
Did you guys time travel through the early aughts? What the fuck? Yeah, I saw it. He looks like goddamn Michael William Scott, whatever his goddamn
Michael
name is.
Who's Michael William Scott?
Sean William Scott?
Dax Shepard had... Yeah, I don't give a shit. I don't remember. But yes, so many dudes had the I want to be in a Cameron Crowe movie like look.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. When did Nickelback exist?
Have that haircut,
look at
Mike.
The bands. Creed, what's that Stapp's fucking hairdo look like? Same thing.
Scott Stapp did not look like that.
Not what I thought we'd be talking about tonight.
Wow. We got an anti-hair right here, and I don't approve.
Well, okay, fine. I mean, you know what? Let's pretend that Mike's right. It's still crazy distracting and a terrible, but I mean, I enjoyed the look for the movie, but it's... It's a bad haircut.
Well, it's a bad movie, Jay, so...
Yeah, no, I'm good with it. I just wanted to... I did not want this whole thing to pass and for us not to talk about that glorious mullet.
It absolutely is a bad movie, but Mike just really briefly touched on this. The cinematography is really good in some places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the director, The director, Joseph Kahn, this is his first feature, and he had a very extensive career doing music videos.
Mm. Oh,
in fact, like big names. Like when this came out, I guess he did a lot of stuff for Britney Spears.
Makes sense now.
Right, because the main character was in a Britney Spears video, right?
Yep.
Well, and I mean, I think this is IMDb trivia, but didn't he turn down directing this like 3 times?
Yep.
And if that's your first feature, you've got to just think this is garbage. If they're like, you've done music videos, do you want to do a feature film? And he's like, no, I'm good. 3 times before they finally convinced him to do it.
Well, that's probably why when he asked about it, he did say his intention of this film was to be a piss take of yeah. Fast and Furious. So I assume he didn't care.
That's so weird. That's so weird that there's a producer on board from Fast and the Furious, and then there's someone directing this movie who is maybe halfway treating it like a joke / music video.
I bet they're friends. I bet you the reason they why would they ask a no name 3 times to do a movie? There's 800,000 no names in LA that would love to direct this fucking garbage.
Well, hold on, back up a second. This is another thing, Mike. Maybe that you've forgotten about the aughts. Music video directors were in high demand in the movie industry.
And he was a really big, high in demand video director.
There you go.
It's like Gore Verbinski, right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Gore Verbinski got his history. Oh, let me just tell you what I found on Wikipedia the other day. Gore Verbinski got his start directing punk videos in LA. Yeah.
Paul, cut this out.
I'm not editing this episode.
Editing punk videos in LA, and then his first commercial job was the Budweiser Frogs commercial.
Oh, okay.
And then he directed The Ring or whatever the fuck after that. Like, that his way into Hollywood from punk, Bad Religion, NOFX, like videos by those bands, and then fucking directed the Budweiser Frog commercial.
So they probably asked, they asked him, he said no, and then they asked Mick G, and he said, I'm doing Charlie's Angels. I can't do it. So then they asked this guy, and he turned him down 3 times.
You're like the last guy we know.
They're like, who's going to direct this thing? They're going to have to ask Ice Cube next to do it.
Well, he'd be really angry behind the camera.
Yeah. What do you mean you want me to direct this movie?
I don't even think I could do that with my face. He's so
angry. No, his face had to hurt by the end of the day.
He's like, I can't do any more takes. Please let me smile.
Like, do you think he was just only like mildly angry on set there? And Joseph Kahn is like, no, angrier, angrier. Look how angry everyone else is. Be even more angry. And so he just kept doing it. Like, and after 50 takes, he fucking Stanley Kubrick the shit out of these scenes. You know,
and he really was angry.
I assume he had a good time making the movie, though. I mean, it looks like it would be a fairly fun thing to be a part of if you're making a couple bucks and you're riding some motorcycles or whatever. Why not?
Yeah. You've ever want to hang out in the deserts of California?
Hell yeah.
Here you go.
Come on, Ford. You got this wrong.
I'm so surprised that we made it this far into the episodes before talking about any of the fight scenes. And there's like 8 or 9 fight scenes in this movie.
Yep.
I will give it credit. They do tend to, each one is more ridiculous than the last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got some motorcycle chases. You got some, fight scenes off of the motorcycles. They mix it up quite a bit. You get, as Jay mentioned, you get a fight on a motorcycle with Jamie Presley. So, yeah, I thought they did a pretty good job of mixing it up with that.
I would say the whole movie is directed fine.
Yeah.
The action is all more or less clear. It's a very competently made movie from a technical standpoint.
I mean, it better be. What was the budget on this?
$40 million.
$40 million.
Christ. It better be competent.
Unfortunately, it seems that during the final fight scene, they had to ask someone to render the chase and fight, but they accidentally hired some teenager that was just playing GTA 3. And so
Well, I bet the guy who made Exigency, this is why that movie took 13 years, because he had to take a break to do the animation for Torque.
Oh,
no, he saw Torque and went, oh, my stuff's feeling so much better. I'm happy to redo everything.
Wait a minute. We got to, Chris, I don't know if you're ready for this yet, because that is the climax of the movie, but we got to set that up a little bit better, because I was laughing so hard I could hardly breathe.
Well, let's kind of take a couple steps back into two fight scenes earlier to kind of set this up.
Okay.
Ice Cube's brother has been killed by Henry, but Henry framed Ford for the murder, and now everyone's after it. There's a whole cop.
Henry Ford, what?
What did Henry Ford do?
Henry. Wait, what did Henry Ford do?
Henry and Ford created the Model T.
Oh, Henry and Ford.
Oh,
huh.
I thought you meant Henry Ford.
Yes. Yes. It's just his corpse.
Yes, he has a cameo.
You never know. They might do something else.
So there are all kinds of police chases, and they're finally in Los Angeles, and they go to, I don't know, finally Ford and Ice Cube have a showdown and to try to get the truth, and they're trying to get the FBI in to arrest Ford, and they're at Shane's workshop. And the FBI shows up, and all hell breaks loose. Adam Scott betrays. It turns out he's working with Henry the whole time. There's a big fight, and yeah, let's just get into it. What happens, guys?
Hey, Nancy, Drew. No! Don't shoot! Stop! What a sad and sudden tragedy.
Oh, real quick, listeners, at no point were you surprised by Adam Scott turning on his partner. He shows up and you go, oh, he's like a crooked FBI guy. Okay.
Also, listener, if it seems like the way that we're describing this movie is a little bit disjointed, yeah, because that's what the movie is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, there's the plot is, literally, it's like, here's a keyframe, the credits.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Drugs and a bike. I don't even know if we've said that yet. It's just about drugs.
Oh, the drugs. Yeah.
Drugs hidden in two motorcycles. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
Yep.
I want you to know that since this movie's about drugs, I did specifically take an edible at a certain time frame that I thought it would kick in the middle of the episode.
And it kicked up.
Oh, nice. Well, Mike, why don't you describe this fight scene in Shane's warehouse, which is a ridiculously nice warehouse, by the way. But I don't think it's insured.
She better hope it is.
Probably not. Well, here's the thing. It's the climactic scene for the Adam Scott the federal FBI characters, where they show up. They have found these motorcycles filled with drugs. Ice Cube is sort of trusting Ford a little bit. And then the feds show up. It turns out that's when we, the audience, find out that Ford is actually a narc. He's an IC.
Yes.
Really?
And,
are you sure? I think you're thinking about the Fast and the Furious. At
yeah.
This
no. No, he did a deal. He was supposed to tell him. That's why he was asking the movie. He literally talked on a payphone in the movie to him.
Right.
He's an informant.
Well, only because he's trying to clear his name from the murder
I'm not judging the man. I'm just saying this is where we find out also, that's where Ice Cube and everyone else finds out that he's an informant. So there's tension there, and then suddenly Adam Scott takes the drama away and becomes the bad guy, but we all knew he was. And then there's a shootout a bit, and the partner, oh no, Adam Scott shoots his partner, and then the partner later just fucking calls him a son of a bitch or something, clicks a button, and blows everyone up, and we get a really cool explosion scene with Adam Scott flailing his arms.
Well, right before that, though, we get some really awesome shots of Ice Cube just running over dudes left and right on a motorcycle.
Oh, that's right. He fights it with his goddamn motorcycle.
Everybody gets their fight here in the end.
Yeah, but that leads directly into the last two fights, one sponsored by a famous soft drink company, and the other one sponsored by, I guess, a jet-powered motorcycle, which apparently actually exists.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There's no guarantee this jet-powered motorcycle will make you feel like you're driving through a video game in real life, though.
Liberty City's great to visit in the winter.
So who wants to talk about the sponsored fight first?
This is the Pepsi versus Mountain Dew?
The Pepsi versus Mountain Dew.
I'll just say this, that motorcycle ballet is a real event, and that's all I'm going to say. Someone else take it.
You've got Jamie Presley in front of a Mountain Dew sign, and you've got Shane.
Jay, not just a little sign. It's the whole fucking screen, effectively, right? Like, it's huge.
Billboard.
That's what I'm saying. It's two-thirds of the screen. It's a billboard, and then on the other side is a billboard for Pepsi. And Shane is in front of it, and then they charge each other, and this is all under a bridge, and they keep passing each other and fighting. And
aren't they also in, like, a produce market? Like, I see, like, vegetable stands on either side.
Yes, right. For some reason, there's a market under there that people are running from, and things are being destroyed. And they battle back and forth, and they ride back and forth, and then eventually Jamie Presley, I believe, gets knocked onto the windshield of a car and loses the Pepsi motorcycle fight.
Jay, there is a very good way that she does get knocked into the windshield of the car, though.
By all means.
It is when Shane, our hero-ess, riding in front of Jamie Presley, does a backflip off of her motorcycle and lands on Jamie Presley's motorcycle, thus knocking her off of the car, or the motorcycle, onto a car, a disgusting car, and smashes the windshield. It is the most, you're watching this scene and going, all right, this is actually pretty fun and cool, because they're doing tricks, and then that happens, and you throw anything in your premise away from you, so you can scream, what in the hot hell am I watching? This is the best part of anything I've ever seen in my life.
And I believe, we haven't used too many quotes Jesus here, but I believe Jamie Presley is the one that says, you messed with the wrong chick. And then Shane does her thing and says, looks like you did, bitch. Mic drop.
That actually was not the first time, though, that we saw Jamie Presley on the hood of a car, because forgot to mention, at the beginning of the movie, after the murder takes place, she is being questioned, I guess, because she was a witness, and she is very casually lounging on the hood of a cop car with like 80 cops around her. That's all. Just wanted to mention it.
Well, Paul, this leads directly into the final fight / chase scene, yes, of the movie. And you mentioned you enjoyed this.
Well, yes. Here's the thing. They do a perfectly fine job of setting up this motorcycle. This whatever, you know, experimental motorcycle or prototype, whatever you want to call it, motorcycle, is extremely fast, and they say that it's extremely fast, and so you're like, okay, well, this, you know, this thing's going to be going pretty fast. This should be fun.
What's this?
Y2K. Fastest bike in the world. Carbon fiber chassis, built around a Rolls-Royce jet helicopter engine.
0 to 200 in less than 10 seconds, huh? I heard of these.
And so I'm thinking, okay, I bet you this thing's going to do, I don't know, 180, 200 miles an hour. Ford gets on this thing, and it goes 950 miles an hour through downtown Los Angeles. You can't see anything. You can't breathe. It is Looney Tunes level madness. Oh, God. Oh, I couldn't breathe. But he has to, like, dodge in between cars.
It blows up a girl's skirt.
Going 950 miles an hour. Like, he has some sort of superhuman brain in order to calculate all this in
time.
Yeah,
like, when he's passing car windows and stuff, Just windows are blowing out of the cars as he rides by.
Oh, God, it was amazing. But here's what I really don't understand. This is what really confused me. I don't remember exactly what happens, but at some point there's a trail of gas leaking or something.
It also looks like someone took GTA 3 footage, put it on cinematography mode, and sped it up 10 times.
But somehow this trail of gasoline gets set on fire, and the trail of gasoline is going 950 miles an hour. How does that work?
And Ford is still outrunning it.
How does that work?
Oh, God. But I love it. At the end, he hits like, you know, like when you're driving along the highway or the road and there's like one of those like trucks with like a ramp of cars on it or something. And you always feel like, I just want to like just gun it and just launch myself off this truck, like Grand Theft Auto style.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Ford does. And he does a couple flips on the motorcycle and lands on Henry's bike. They've wiped out, but they're still going. They're slowing down, but very slowly. But it does give the flame a chance to catch up to the bikes. And there's just a massive explosion. Yeah.
Dude, they would both be absolute jelly in that ride.
Yeah, I don't even really remember how the movie ends. I blacked out.
I had to rewind it because I was like, did Henry just die there? What happened?
Yeah, I think Henry dies.
I rewound it again and watched it. And you never really see him die. It's just kind of the explosion. And
Henry does die in the end. The explosion. And Ford is thrown forward and his head is almost run over by a bus. Oh. Yeah, if they were going 901 miles per hour,
oh God,
Ford also would have died.
Oh yeah,
but thank God.
Did Jamie Presley die too in her fight?
No.
Did she get stabbed?
No, she just got knocked off into the car.
She just landed on the windshield.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
What I especially loved about this fight, they're driving so fast. As soon as the fight is over, Ford stands up. Just head almost being crushed by this bus. And Shane shows up. Did she also drive 900 miles per hour to catch up?
600. That's why it took her so long.
Yeah.
It didn't, though. She was there in like 5 seconds.
Need a ride?
Hey, by the way, we all forgot about this, and this is probably for the best, but just so everyone knows, Hoobastank was also on the soundtrack.
No.
Yep. So was Static X.
Oh, yeah.
Pennywise is on there somehow, and also MXPX. I guess they did a couple punk songs.
They really targeted a particular group, didn't they?
I might go to Mega Replay tomorrow and see if I can find this CD.
No. No. God, no. It's just going to be Slade Craven for the rest of the fucking show.
I just was hoping for some Creed at the end, you know? Throw me a little Scott Stapp. Come on.
Rating time.
So I thought long and hard, as always, about the rating scale for this. But there's one little moment in the movie that really, really speaks to my heart. We mentioned kind of the beginning of the climax where they're in Shane's shop and Adam Scott betrays his FBI partner, mm-hmm. and Henry shows up, and there's a big fight. But there's one part in there where Henry points his shotgun directly into Ice Cube's face. And Ice Cube's all snarling, but he just gives the barrel just the tiniest little smooch.
Yeah!
So we're going to rate this in shotgun smooches.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
Jay, how many, from 1 to 100, shotgun smooches? What do you think of this movie?
Oh, man, I wasn't ready to go first.
Mike, how many shotgun smooches would you give Torque?
Oh man, I wasn't ready to go first. Oh.
Paul,
I knew
how
it.
Many shotgun smooches would you give Torque?
I will happily go first. This is actually kind of tough because I had a really... See, I almost just said I had a really fun time watching this, and I don't know if that's true. I just don't know.
It's an enigma.
It is an enigma. It is it is breathtakingly bad in some spots. It is very competent and well-made in some spots. It is hilariously goofy in some spots. It's just all over the map. But I have to bump it up a lot for the ending, the end motorcycle stuff. It's just unbelievable. So I am going to go 35 shotgun smooches.
Holy and shit.
32 of those points are from the end motorcycle chase.
Yeah.
Wow. So if it wasn't for that, Paul, you would have just loathed this movie.
But here's the thing. So I've been rating a lot of movies on Letterboxd. It's like an app, you know, where you can track what movies you've watched and rate things and stuff like that. A lot of times, because I watch a lot of B movies, I will give something 2 stars, but then I'll also click heart on it. You know, like, I liked this, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't good. So that's kind of the vibe that I'm going with. I liked it. I had a good time watching it last night. It's not good.
Right, Jay, are you prepared to go second?
I suppose. Wait, what did you give it, Paul? 35?
35 shotgun smooches.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because it's the whole thing. It's glossy, but there's just not a lot there. There's some funny moments. So yeah, the whole thing is like an ad. It's not one of those movies where I would say, like, oh, watch it with a bunch of friends. Like, if you're with a bunch of friends, watch something else. You know? So I can't really recommend it in that.
I don't know. I think this would be fun with friends.
You think it would be?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think there's more fun things to watch if you got that time with your friends. Right. Just, that's me. I wasn't going to go down into the 30s, Paul. Jeez.
This is America, greatest country in the world. You give it whatever you want.
Yeah. But you've got me thinking now. So now maybe I'm not ready to go. Okay, screw it. I don't
know. Go with your heart, Jay. Just go with your heart.
It was an okay way to spend 80 minutes or whatever it was. So I'm going to say... I think about 50% of the time, Chris, you deviate from the rating scale. So I'm going to do that here.
Whoa.
I'm going to give this 40 Dane Cooks.
So much worse.
What does that translate to in point in shotgun smooches? Like forward?
Negative 40.
40 Dane Cooks.
Yeah. I never thought we'd go on the Dane Cook scale, but here we are.
He is in the movie.
Wow. It took Torque to bring
here us. Here we are.
All right, Mike. What do you think of Torque?
Wow, I am surprised about these scores as low as they are. Not because I liked this movie. It's a horseshit. But because...
Why are you surprised?
I mean, Paul, I wasn't super surprised with you. Jam a little bit.
Well, you know, Mike, if I could add for the listeners out there, real quick, little fun fact between me, you, and Dane Cook. The only reason... I have ever listened to Dane Cook comedy is because I got him from you.
Yeah. His first album was great. If everyone, no one can argue that the first album was really fun. We all fucking loved it back then. Yeah. There's a bunch of really good jokes in there.
Somebody shit on the coats. I don't know. Was that the first one?
Yeah, I think it was. It doesn't matter. The point is he got real fucking piece of garbage sounding. Doesn't matter. We all love the first one. The rest of it blew chipmunk balls, whatever.
Well, what about Torque, Mike? We're not talking about Dane Torque.
Yes. I was getting back to it.
Yeah. He's in the movie.
Well, tell that to Jason Holmes. The point it. Yes, he was. The point is that this really illustrates the feeling that all of us had. Jay skipped being first. I skipped being second because we didn't want to talk about it because I didn't know what I don't know what I feel about this movie. I did have a fun time watching it. Was it good? No. Is there a better thing to watch with your friends? Absolutely. But here's what I think maybe it is. Maybe it's that this movie so fucking encapsulates the era it's from.
No doubt. No doubt.
For us, it's a bit of a nostalgia, perhaps. And I enjoyed seeing the holy shit, quote unquote, alternative culture outfits in this thing. Like nothing, man. Yep. And I think that gives it an interest. So, but I think you should only watch this if you were like, I want to see what the early 2000s looked like in people's brains. And that's what this movie is. And I think that's fun. If you don't want that, if you're going to sit down to watch a fun, stupid movie that is going to be a stupid action movie, do pick something else.
Yeah. If you're Gen Z, just don't watch this.
Or maybe it's better, dude. Like, what if for Gen Z, that era is such a fucking mind blow of an insanity?
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
maybe
it's funner. I don't know. But you have to come in looking for, you want that, right? Like, it's that. So that's why the split is. Because I did want that. So my thought of it is high-ish. But if I didn't want that, low-ish. So here's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring it up a little bit, okay? I'm gonna go from the perspective of I wanted to watch 2004 coming out of
the whale tail song,
the thong song. I don't know. So
wow. So higher than Paul and I combined.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna say if you want this stupid thing, put it on. It's not the best thing ever, but you'll have a fun time, especially with friends. I'm gonna give it the reverse of a 97. Which that's a year that would fit in that zone too, I think. But it's going to be 79. 79
but
points
very fair.
For fun, if you're looking for this sort of fun.
We're all oddly enough on the same page so far. We just have different scores.
Like I said, you both agree that it's a hard thing to define.
Yes.
I went from the alternate thing. Now, what is Chris Hudson going to do?
Oh, my God. I agree with each and every one of you. This movie is not good. It is complete garbage. But at the same time, there's something to it. Like, do I hate this movie? I don't think I hate this movie. Yeah. I don't really like it either. I did love the Mountain Dew Pepsi duel, though. That I unabashedly love that part. And Adam Scott is always fun. So, you know what? I've got to balance out Jay and Paul and join Mike in the 70s. I'm going to go with the 73 shotgun smooches.
Mm-hmm. Very fair.
Guys, how the hell did we wind up like this? And why weren't we able...
What is this? What are you doing?
...to see the signs that we missed?
Is this Nickelback?
Turn the tables.
God damn it.
I wish you'd unclench your fists.
This is Nickelback, Paul.
And unpack your suitcase.
That wasn't in the movie.
Lately, there's been too much
of this,
Jay. But don't think it's too late.
Wake me up inside!
Someday... Somehow.
Okay.
I'm going to make it all right.
Bye.
But not right now.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Listen, guys. We all know that Mike Hayes is considered by many to be their favorite B-Movie Maniac, right?
He's mine.
Yeah, he's mine too.
He's not mine.
But you know what else he's considered to be?
I don't like this.
The champion of children's movies.
Oh, no! Not take my throne.
Oh, no.
You dare not take my child's throne.
What would happen if I, Paul Brooks, dared to pick a children's movie for season 5?
Oh,
oh, yeah, it's happening. And speaking of Michael, Michael Hogan, Saul Tai himself.
Oh, God
it's
damn
in
it.
It's a frackin' ship.
Stars, along with a bunch of goddamn children, in the 1995 Canadian cult classic, The Peanut Butter Solution.
Oh, my God. I have a friend who's been begging me to pick this movie. I've never seen it.
There you go.
No.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It is streaming for free on Tubi.tv.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Have fun.
I'm excited. It sounds like Buttercream Gang, so I'm looking forward
very
to it.
Fun.
There's a little touch of Buttercream.
All right,
cream
baby.
Gang in there. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris, for having us watch Torque.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo! Can we go back to those days when everything was simple then and nothing could ever change? Can we go back to those days? We didn't ever care at all. I wish I could remain back in yesterday's.
Well, for all of those Torque dorks out there, I'm gonna say this to you. Someday, somehow, I'm gonna make it all right, but not right now. I know you're wondering when. You're in parentheses. You're the only one who knows that. Someday, somehow, I'm gonna make it all right, but not right now. I know you're wondering when. You're the only one that knows that.
I can't believe you're still saying all this.
I know you're wondering when. You're the only one that knows that. I know you're wondering. When?
Ring, 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 ring,
ring, ring, ring, ring, ring.